A supercharged week it has been. It's had everything. Emotion, proposals, high stakes on energy and energy storage. It's hard to keep track of the jaw-dropping list of large-scale renewable energy projects that are now underway and proposed as Australia responds to all the fraught debates we've been having about energy. Hard, too, to discern what a sensible centre citizen can usefully take out of it all. Well, the scale of the response is described by my first guest this hour as game over for the fossil fuel industry. I might just tease that out with him, or test him on it, certainly. Andrew Blakers is director at the Centre for Sustainable Energy Systems at the ANU. He released analysis last year that showed Australia could reach a 100% renewable energy target with solar, wind and pumped hydro. And it's understood that his discussion of pumped hydro was noticed by the Prime Minister. Welcome to Saturday Extra, Andrew.
Good morning.
So for some dispassionate overview, if we possibly can, how significant do you judge these two most recent announcements from the South Australian Government on battery storage and the Prime Minister on the snowy pumped hydro to be?
They could be characterised as the South Australian response is an attempt to do something in the very short term, in a year or so, whereas the Prime Minister's initiative in the Snowies is looking in the 5 to 7 year timeframe, a timeframe when solar photovoltaics and wind will be very significant in New South Wales and Victoria and will need some storage to stabilise the grid.
And just explain, if you would, again, because I've heard it, but I've only just got it. There's been so much flying around. Why this pumped hydro amounts to such remarkable storage?
Pumped hydro is simply having two reservoirs at different elevations, and you connect them with a pipe or tunnel containing a pump and a turbine. And when electricity is plentiful and cheap, you pump water up the hill. And when you need that energy back again, you let it come back down through the turbine. The reason why the Snowy Mountains is particularly prospective is that there are existing dams, so you don't need to build two new reservoirs. However, there is a substantial distance between the two reservoirs, so it's a 30-odd kilometre tunnel, and the question is that the feasibility study will resolve is whether this is an economical way of doing pumped hydro.
But so, okay, this has been, as I understand, this has been in the bottom drawer, this is somebody's put it, of snowy hydro for quite a few years. So we know it's possible, do we? I suppose in terms of storage, does it do something that nothing else does?
Pumped hydro is 97% of all large-scale or all energy storage around the world, and batteries fits into the other 3%. So if you want large-scale storage, pumped hydro really is the only show in town. The reason why this is significant is that it's a large project, 2 gigawatts of power for notionally $2 billion. If it turns out that that indeed is the price, then this is a very, very attractive price for such a large amount of storage and would go far towards stabilising a high renewable energy fraction in New South Wales.
It's certainly been confusing, I would suggest to you. I mean, in February, we were listening to the Prime Minister at the National Press Club talk about clean coal. This week, we had the extraordinary press conference. We had the gas suppliers being forced to say that they would supply more to local markets. And then now we have the Prime Minister talking about a flexible electricity system, with him declaring himself a nation-building Prime Minister. So it's extremely difficult for the average citizen, I think, to keep a hold on whether anyone knows what they're doing.
Well, I think there is a mega trend, and that is reflected in what the Prime Minister announced last week. The mega trend is that solar photovoltaics and wind have won the race in terms of new generation capacity. So virtually all new generation capacity in Australia now is solar photovoltaics and wind. And around the world, half of new generation capacity is solar PV and wind. And fossil, nuclear, hydro and all the others fit into the other half. This trend is going to go to completion over the next decade or so. Virtually all new generation capacity, I would say, around the world in 10 years will be solar PV and wind.
Okay, and you just put that pumped hydro into the 50% that is the sort of older energy generation?
No, pumped hydro is different from hydroelectricity.
Oh, I see.
In that it is storage, whereas traditional hydro, you actually run the water down the river and away to the sea. So storage is completely different. The water goes round and round a circle. You don't actually let the water down the river. You reserve a trench of water, which shuttles backwards and forwards between the two reservoirs.
Oh, thank you. That's helpful. Okay. So does it really remove the need for baseload power generation? I mean, we've learned to be very careful about being too cavalier about this, I would argue to you.
Baseload power doesn't have a lot of meaning. What you need to look at is how you meet demand every hour of the year. And you have a range of techniques to do that. Increasingly, it's going to be solar PV and wind providing the energy, and pumped hydro with support from batteries providing the storage, and stronger interconnection between the states so that if you have poor weather in one place and good weather in another place, you can move power from one place to another.
Yes, those interconnectors, I've heard people refer to them. Now, they are critical, are they, in this 10-year adaptation process you're describing?
It is critical. The reason is that if you try and do everything in a small region, in that region, the weather is always all the same. So if it's no wind and no sun in that small region, then you'll rapidly deplete your storage. If, however, you have interconnection from North Queensland through New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia, Tasmania, perhaps even Western Australia, then there's always going to be good weather in one place or another, and you can move the power from the wind and the sun to where it's needed from where it's being generated. The bigger the area that you interconnect, the more stable the system, the less storage that you need.
Now, you heard our, I don't know whether you heard our little clip from Clark and Dorr saying it's a market, it's not a system. Again, I think the sensible centre citizen is saying, now, is all this about a market which is inherently more volatile than a system with the clear purpose of stability?
I think it can be both. I think we've gone a little bit too far into market economics on something that is inherently engineering. The market can't work out which electrons should go where. You need solid engineering. The rise and rise of solar, PV and wind means that the free market can reign in where those systems go and who builds them and how many. However, a very firm level of engineering control is required to ensure that the system remains stable. And that means that, like a common railroad, governments have to be involved in ensuring that there's enough pumped hydro storage, enough interconnectors, and to facilitate more batteries, and in particular electric battery vehicles, to provide overall stability.
And I mean, by the time that the coal-fired power stations go offline, and I might just add about power bills, I had a friend who runs a small engineering outfit. Their power bills went up overnight last week by a third.
Well, this is being driven primarily by the rise and rise in the price of gas as large amounts of gas get shoveled offshore. So essentially, Australia is now seeing Asian gas prices. Gas is not part of the future solution simply because the price is sufficiently high that it can't compete either with wind or solar PV. That's why the race is over in terms of gas. And even in the case of coal, coal can no longer compete with either wind or solar PV. So coal and gas really don't have a long-term future in Australia.
All right, Andrew. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.
Andrew Blakers is the Director for the Centre for Sustainable Energy Systems at the ANU.
That feeling you get when you realise the moon used to be so much closer that it lit up the night sky as bright as an office?
When you realise that there's an object out there that wouldn't just rip you apart, it would erase your very existence?
When you realise there could be alien life swimming in the oceans on a nearby moon?
That feeling you get when you realise that the sun is only 20 galactic years old and will be dead by the time it's 40?
That's what we call cosmic vertigo. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.